Shalom and praise the name of Jesus. This morning, we want to worship the Lord by looking at his goodness upon our lives. We continue to focus on understanding how Jesus was able to satisfy thirsty souls. We have discovered that there are a number of there are several qualities that describe the people who followed Jesus. Yesterday we discovered that they were fearful, they were confused, there were groups that didn't know what to do. And Jesus started teaching them and qualifying and letting them know that he is not just a good man, and he's not a bad man or an evil man, as some of them said, but he is God. And the Bible says many of them believed in him. So today, we want to see how Jesus was able to win souls that were thirsty of knowing who he was. Winning the souls of men and women who were looking for who is Jesus. When Jesus looked at the multitude in many places, he discovered that they were having three main problems. He was able to evaluate them and analyze them, and they were having at least three main challenges or three categories of problem. Problem number one is that the multitude or the crowds, they were suffering. They were harassed from outside. They were being tortured by outside forces. They were being persecuted by outside forces stronger than themselves. And some of the outside forces that abused them was actually the false religion. False religion was one of the outside forces. You see, religion always would provide an alternative to the thirsty group of people. And so masses were harassed, and religion was one of them. Witchcraft was another one. Sorcery is the same as witchcraft and mediums. And then there was about, tribalism and racism. That's number one from outside. From number two, masses or crowds that followed Jesus were helpless. They had come to a point that they would not be able to fight for themselves. They do not have internal strength. They were limited by themselves. They could not be able to push, to birth the willingness or even the knowledge. They could not take themselves to where the Messiah was. They were so clouded and so having strongholds that they could not be able to break through. And number three, they did not have a shepherd. They did not have someone to help them. Now, these were the main three categories of people who were really thirsty, who were really thirsty of Jesus Christ. That's why today we are looking at crowds or learners who are thirsty of somebody who would come and deliver them from those three main problems. They were really looking forward. And you can discover that's why they were saying, Jesus is good. We know that Messiah is coming. And others would say, no, he's a bad man. And they continued deliberating and arguing. They were arguing. They were not knowing exactly what to do. And in their thirst, Jesus comes in during this church festivity or during this festival. Let me read John 7 and verse 7. On the last day and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit will flow from them, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Verse 40. Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others asked, "How can Messiah come from Galilee? Does not scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus, the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Now, dear people, you discover that during this festival, when people are so thirsty of getting to know the Messiah or getting to know who Jesus was or looking for one who could deliver them from this strong enemy, Jesus stood at the middle of the last day of that service, and he cried with a loud voice, and he called everyone, unless he says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." Isn't that good an invitation? Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Of course, he is using an analogy of drinking. We'll still look at this more. But you said, "I know you are travelers. I am the staircase between heaven and earth. And you people are traveling on me. And you are thirsty. You are needy of this." Because one of the needy or the need or the major need of a traveler is water, is thirst. But he says, "Anyone who is thirsty, come." What an invitation, dear people. Come and drink. And then he qualifies what he meant, because that was an example. He said, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Can you imagine Jesus saying, "If you believe, if you drink the liver, if you drink from me, the Holy Spirit will flow from you. The Holy Spirit can only flow from within you, as the scripture have saying. The Holy Spirit can flow from your life only if you are connected with me." And so Jesus is inviting the thirsty people not just to come with buckets, not just to come with a small jerrycan, but to come and connect at the source. And the source is in himself. Religion was providing some jerrycan kind of. Religion was just providing some small bits of little waters, seemingly little waters, that will not quench the thirst of the people. Because religion always looks like the lil, but doesn't really satisfy the human need. It's only God who can satisfy the need and the thirst of a man. And so Jesus said, "Come and drink." And as you do that, I promise you that the Holy Spirit will be able to flow from within you. But when will that happen? He said, "Not now, until I'm glorified, until I'm crucified, until they put me on the cross. That is the time that will happen." With that promise, or by that promise, this is what the Bible says. On hearing his words, peoples were satisfied, they were quenched their thirst. And people heard something they have never heard. When they heard everyone was being invited, on that side, people were divided into three categories. And I want to add there, people are divided into three categories. These are thirsty people. These are seekers. They are looking for the Messiah. So some of them got it right. They said, this is a prophet. Surely, this man is a prophet. That is number one. Many people believe Jesus is a prophet. Muslims, for example, they believe Jesus was a prophet. But let me qualify and say, indeed, Jesus was a prophet. But he was more than a prophet. It's good for us to know that. Jesus, yes, was a prophet. But it's because they still have not quenched their thirst because of the religious group, the religion of this team, the religion of the people, the religion which is the opium all of the people, of the masses. It is like bangi of the people. As I think it's Mahatma Gandhi who said that. It makes people or destroy the thirst of the people. And so Jesus, some people thought he was the prophet. True, he was, but more than a prophet. But the second group got it right. He said, others said he is the Messiah. Now, these got it very right. Jesus is the Messiah. I wish we'll be able to get into this one. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the anointed one. Jesus is the king who was to come and save the Israelites, the group of Israelites. Jesus is the priest who was anointed Messiah. The Messiah is the priest and the king who was anointed. And Jesus is also a priest. And Jesus was still also a prophet because the anointed one, there are three groups that were anointed in Israel, the king, the priest, and the prophet. And these people got it right. But I want you to know, they didn't have the bigger picture, Jesus being the Messiah and the Savior of the universe. But they thought that he was the Messiah. They got it right. But Jesus is more than the Messiah of the Jews. He is the Messiah, but is he only for the Jews? Remember, these were Jewish people. If you want to get the bigger picture of this, we can get it from the conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. But number three, others said, how can the Messiah come from Galilee? You see, they're still looking at their own places. They're looking at Messiah. And so other people looked at Jesus as a normal man from Galilee. And he said that Messiah would come from David's land and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived. Let me tell you, people were not taught that Jesus was not born in Galilee. People were not taught, religion did not teach the people the truth, because Jesus was not born in Galilee. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. You remember when Joseph took his bride Mary as opposed to him to be married to to Bethlehem? Isn't that the city of David? He was born in Bethlehem. He was born in a manger. Even a magi came to see him. The angels are witnesses. Anna is a witness. And Simon is a witness. Many people, they are witnesses that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So if people knew about that, they could not have said this. And so people thought Jesus as a Galilean person. And Galilee, they were talking like trying to downgrade because they hated the Galileans. Galilee or Nazareth was a place. Galilee was a province and it was a poor place. And that's where most of the Gentiles lived. The Bible talk about the Galilee of the Gentiles. And so number four, which these people did not really get even to this place, but is not mentioned here, is that Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's not just the anointed one to save the Jews, but he's the Savior of the world. May God open our eyes today in the name of Jesus. Father, open our eyes that we may know who Jesus is. Quench our thirst. Let us know that you're not just a Galilean man. You went there so that you can save the Galileans. Let us know that you're not just a prophet. You are more than a prophet. You are more than the anointed one or the savior of the Jews. You are the savior of the entire universe. Open our eyes that we may learn that and quench our thirst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.